Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your host, Jay Larson. And joining me, as always, is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jay.
How are you?
I'm good. I've been trying to finish Justice League, like, in little bits and bobs. Because that's certainly out, and people have watched it.
Yes.
I see now why everybody is saying the same thing, which is just that it's better than the original Justice League. But I haven't heard a ton of, like, just unadulterated praise, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It does. Another really common comment is that if Snyder had decided to just, like, do the entire movie at, like, X1 speed instead of having, like, slow-mo through the whole thing, that it would have been, like, a two-hour movie.
No, that math doesn't work. Because apparently somebody went through it and calculated, and it's only 10% of the movie is in slow motion. You just feel that way because it really, like, drags down some of the scenes.
Yeah, some of the scenes you're like, this is a little gratuitous.
You know what I liked that was really gratuitous, though, was the introduction scene for Barry Allen. It was great. It was really cool.
Yeah, so that's actually one of... So I have a question for you, Greg. So I feel like far and away Barry Allen and the Flash is the best part of that movie. And I'm curious if this is just like me being like a gay boy, thinking that because I think Barry Allen's cute, or if actually that's the best part of the movie.
No, I think so far he's been my favorite part. And, like, the weirdest thing to me is that he's very funny in the Snyder Cut. Like, his scenes are good, timing is really funny. Like, you're just like, ha! And I know that a large part of why they reshot was because they wanted more, like, comedic parts.
Right.
And I was like, they didn't make it funnier. The Snyder Cut has just as many ha moments. And it doesn't have the scene where Flash touches Wonder Woman's boob and he's like, oh, whoopsies, I touched your boob. Like, I don't know. I have not finished Justice League, but so far, I think I agree with you that the Barry Allen parts have been my favorite.
Yeah. I think part of it is that he's just like the most relatable character out of all of them.
I can see that. And he's, yeah.
It also helps that he's like, he's like awkward and funny in his awkwardness, et cetera, amongst like these brooding
jealous assholes.
Yeah.
I mean, Wonder Woman's not that bad, but yeah, they're all joyless assholes. That's my biggest problem with Justice League and like the Snyderverse in general is it's like, why haven't you killed yourself? Like, honestly, like, what are you living for? It's gotta like, they're just like, I gotta stop all crime before I die. And then they make crime worse. I don't get why I'm rooting for a lot of those characters. And at least for Wonder Woman, I can be like, oh, I like you. You're pretty. I like her. She's like the Captain America of the Justice League, right? Where like she's the inspiring one. But even then, like, she hasn't done much.
Like, I guess one of my great geek heresies is that everyone else thinks that the first Wonder Woman movie was like this cinematic achievement, and I think it was fine, I guess, but it was like What this podcast needs is a Dank Dune meme. So what it makes me think of is the Dank Dune meme where it's like, on the one hand, there's this picture of like this beautiful horse. And then there's this other one of this guy drawing like this stick figure horse of, and it says, you know, the beautifully drawn horse is Dune. The stick figure horse is Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And like, it really, really felt to me like, you know, Captain America First Avenger is this beautifully drawn horse. And then Wonder Woman was like this stick figure horse next to it. And like, maybe it's unfair to me to make that comparison, but you're the one who just made the comparison too.
Yeah.
She's like Captain America. And like, I don't know, man. I like, we just, you know, this last weekend. So Brian had never watched WandaVision because he does not do the weekly drip drip on TV shows. He refuses to. And so this last weekend, we watched all of WandaVision in an entire day, which was surprisingly easy to do. it felt really quick. And then, you know, there was also the premiere of, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier, which was completely different tonally from the other show, but still really well done, a great part of the universe. And, you know, you just watch those, and then you watch the DC, you know, Snyderverse stuff, and you're like, it's, I don't know, I feel like I'm going and watching a middle school band.
Yeah.
Play with the DC stuff, and it still makes, like, I don't know, that, like, I almost feel reprehensible getting money towards the DC movies, because they're just like making money hand over fist. But
yeah they're doing fine without us.
Yeah
you know, I feel like the DC Snyderverse, whatever you want to call it, all the current DC movies, they remind me of like the 90s of comic books, where there were some really like mature comics that were doing really well, and then everybody tried to copy them but got it like really wrong.
Right.
So
yeah.
They were like, you know what everybody loves? Fucking giant laser guns. So just like put guns into air. Like Thor had a laser gun in one comic, and you're just like, all right, man, like what the fuck? 90s Thor is the most like stupid edgelord thing, but they were like, you know what will make Thor cool? Like giving him, you know, like a metal girdle thing and like showing his tummy and like giving him lots of like metal armbands and like, let's just make him badass. And it didn't make him good because the stories sucked and they didn't have an original idea and it was missing the heart, and like it was inappropriate for Thor to be doing this. And I feel like that's what's happened because of the Nolan Batman movies, right? The Nolan Batman movies were so good. And
right,
then
yeah.
they tried to like capture lightning in a bottle by repeating what they thought was the appeal factor, which is like, let's make Superman, but he's like down to earth and murderous. I don't know. I'm sorry. I could rant about these because I really want to like them. I really do. Like, the Batman and Superman cartoons are up there with, like, the best superhero creations in modern media. And what's funny is that the Batman cartoon show was so influential, it changed the Batman comic books to, like, more reflect it. And then that changed, like, the movies later. And what has happened instead, right, is that they decided to make a drastically different Batman and Superman that has been ignored by everything else that adapts them, right? Like, I wish.
At no point is DC going to be like, man, you know what is going to make us a lot of money is to start writing comic books like these movies.
and Marvel has. The things that worked better in the Marvel movies have directly changed the comics.
Right.
Right. Like, that's important. That's showing their influence. It's cool. Anyways, you know what is cool, Jay? Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil comics.
Oh,
was that a good sec? Was that
that was you know, after over a year, I'm gonna say this, Greg, you're a pro at podcasting.
Segues. Thank you so much. I'm sorry, I just don't want to talk about Justice League anymore.
Yeah, that's fair. And honestly, like, in the bonus episode, we're gonna be talking about
how great the Falcon and the Winter Soldier is. Yeah.
Which is gonna be a lot more interesting than Justice League.
One episode of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier has so much more like to say. It's so weird. They're like, oh, let's start setting up a subtle story about systematic racism using your favorite super guy, and I'm just like, what? Okay, sorry, let's go. Daredevil.
Okay.
All right, I do need to say one weird thing before we read this.
Okay.
Daredevil, as we know from our last comic, Kingpin knew Daredevil's secret identity and tried to destroy him. More recently, Daredevil, like, revealed his secret identity and then used a magic MacGuffin to wipe everyone's minds so nobody remembers he's Matt Murdock anymore, and that includes Kingpin. That's relevant in this story because you can be like, why doesn't Kingpin know who Daredevil is?
Okay.
Yeah.
I just assumed that at some point there had been a reboot or some manner of, you know, whatever.
Yeah, Marvel does soft reboots where they don't, like, completely ignore things. They just add a layer that covers up something before. So that's why nobody knows he's Daredevil, except Foggy. Okay, so this comic is basically the reboot of the Daredevil comic, written by Chip Zdarsky. And I have said it before, but Daredevil always attracts Marvel's best writers for some reasons.
Hmm.
And in this comic, we have Daredevil getting back into things after he was basically crippled and, like, in a coma and completely, like, destroyed his body. And so he's back. He is going out and being Daredevil. And at the same time, the mayor of New York City, Kingpin, has basically made it, like, he's made a war on vigilantes. While at the same time, he's kind of managing the organized crime families, and he stepped away, right? I'm going to be legit. I'm the mayor. I'm going to be fancy. And so Daredevil is being Daredevil, and he goes to stop a robbery, and these three guys, like, the first thing that happens is he misses a punch, and then these guys are basically just beating the shit out of him. And Daredevil manages, like, barely to beat them, and then he kind of stumbles away, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna go pass out in my bed. And what Daredevil doesn't realize until later is that one of the people he beat up dies shortly after. So this kind of sets up the big thing, is that Daredevil throughout this comic series thinks he's being framed, and he's trying to investigate who framed him for murder. And he goes to the coroner and he interrogates him, and he listens on the Kingpin, and he's trying to figure out, like, who would frame me for murdering this guy, because I didn't do it. And at the same time, this new character, Nathan Cole, his name is Cole, Detective Cole, has been brought in from Chicago, and Detective Cole is basically hunting for Daredevil after he, you know, murdered this guy, killed this criminal. And so it culminates in this, like, big fight where Cole actually shoots Daredevil, and he is running and trying to hide. And then Daredevil gets cornered, and all these cops are they're basically, like, pointing their guns at him. And Daredevil realizes he knows most of the cops, and so he has some, like, discussion with them, and he connects with these cops. And the end result is that Cole goes and is going to, like, fist fight Daredevil to take him in. And Cole ends up beating him, partly because he's shot, partly because he's recovering from his injuries, partly because he's just exhausted and beat up. And so when they're arresting Daredevil and taking him in, the Punisher shoots, like, with a robot gun, shoots up the cop cars and steals him. And the Punisher's kind of like, yeah, you're like me. We've seen through the thing. We're going to kill people. To which Daredevil fights him and resists, and he escapes. He is saved. No, he goes after a crime family, the owl, his like drug trade, and he's about to get beat up and killed there as well. And Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones save him. And he's kind of like heartbroken at this point because he thinks that they're gonna turn him in for murder, and he's like, well, at least it's my friends, and you know, you should do it. Let's go. And they're kind of like, we're not gonna turn you in, but we need to talk about it. And they say basically, everybody kills people sometimes. You just gotta get over it and move on, which is very upsetting to Daredevil because he's like, we're all monsters. We kill people. And when he gets to his house, Spider-Man found him. And so Spider-Man is basically telling him, you're done. You need to stop being Daredevil. You can't do it anymore or you're going to hurt more people. And he basically says, like, if you don't, I'm going to stop you. But I think, you know, as a friend that, like, you're done. You need to stop. You can't hurt people anymore. And Daredevil accepts that. And that's kind of the end of the story arc. But then I wanted us to read the next issue as well, because I do like where it goes from there. So in the next issue, we kind of see that Matt Murdock has become a parole officer helping people. And he is basically trying to use his skills in a different way. And so there's this parolee who's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm off the drugs. And he's like, well, I smell rum on your breath and crack cocaine. And I'm pretty sure you have a bag of pee, like, to fake the drug test. And he's like, look, I'm here to help you. The system is broken. And I really like that, like that idea that he's like using his powers for something else. And something I really liked is earlier in the story, there was the doctor from the hospital had told him, with your abilities, you should be a doctor. And it's, you're kind of like, oh, he would be a good doctor. That's kind of cool. And so the very end of the story, though, is that you see some people are being robbed and threatened by a gang. And there's a woman who looks at a Daredevil costume. And she's kind of like, the Daredevil's not here to save me from crime because he's trying to do something else. So even after he quits, there's still like this vacuum that is Daredevil shaped. And I thought that was really important and cool because I really like showing the consequences of like a superhero stepping back. But this is a really cool Daredevil story. It's got a lot of it's got some like more self-doubt than you normally see from Daredevil, because he's really in denial that he could have killed somebody even when he's like exhausted and not at his peak. And you get to see a lot of his supporting cast come in and deal with him and kind of like try to lead him in the right direction. We see Foggy, of course. We see it's a really good beginning to like a new Daredevil story. And something I really like is I've continued this comic all the way through to like current, and 30 issues later, and Daredevil is still kind of dealing with a storyline that starts here, which is this Detective Cole and the fact that he killed this guy. And it just all leads into this like very epic story of Daredevil. It's a very great, like very great look into the character. So Jay, what did you think? Did you enjoy this? Was it?
I did enjoy it. I think one of the things that was interesting with it, I don't know if it, how I felt about it, I guess, I don't know. Was that it felt like, I'm not even really sure how to describe it. But there were parts, I guess, where it kind of felt like Matt Murdock. It's almost, there were parts where it felt like he was having like a midlife crisis. Which in a way is kind of interesting, but on the other hand, it's also like very different from what you kind of expect with a lot of superhero stories. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's like, you know, there's good versus evil or, you know, whatever. And it's kind of a different story than that.
Yeah. He's kind of stumbling through this.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a part where he like is running along rooftops and he slips and has to like grab the side and pull himself up. And he makes, you know, he makes references to like how like I used to fight ninjas and be at, you know, the top of my game. And I really like this. I thought it was a lot. It was a very unique look at Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind that he's not the amazing badass that he usually is.
Uh-huh. I've watched the at least the first season of the Daredevil Netflix. I'm not sure if I've watched it did have a second season, right?
I believe it had three seasons.
Three seasons? I'm not sure if I watched beyond the first season. And then I watched the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie as well. But I think this is the first comic that I've read of Daredevil.
Well, besides the last one.
Sure, yeah. would you say that this is pretty representative of him, or does it deviate some?
It's got some of the elements, but it does deviate a lot, right? It has a lot of the, you know, his religion tied into the character. Mm. Daredevil has always been like a character that is that he has tied himself to the Catholic Church and like his faith as a part of his heroism. He has always been like a very down to earth character that interacts like as Matt Murdock with people almost as much as he does as Daredevil. He's a character who is always like has that secret identity, is just as important as the superhero. And part of that is, you know, like being a lawyer allows him to be involved in high drama and like legal drama just as much as being a superhero. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one element I would say is absent from Daredevil is that there's no like ninja shenanigans going on. And that is extremely common. But Daredevil, like showing that Daredevil is human and Daredevil, like getting his ass beat and then getting back up, it is very, very appropriate. Although this one has it like more than normal.
Yeah.
But I guess part of it is also, I really enjoy those stories. Like that's part of Daredevil is like made out of willpower, right? Like he doesn't have the super strength that Spider-Man does or anything. He is just, he will never give up. A fight. And so seeing him, like the thing that finally beat Daredevil was himself and his own actions, right? Like him fucking up and killing a guy is the thing that finally made him quit.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what it took. And I think that's incredible that it's not like Kingpin's evil plan, or it's not, you know, like a supervillain brain controlling him. It's that he killed someone and he can't. Part of it is he can't deal with that, and the other part is he doesn't know how to resolve like his identity as a superhero with like, well, I killed this guy on accident.
Yeah, I did think it was I can't remember who is talking to. Oh, I think it was the cop that was trying to arrest him.
Mm.
Which I guess I have a few questions about him once I say this, but he was. I kind of enjoyed the exchange that he had between them where Daredevil was like, you know, I can't use a gun or I can't do some of these other things because I would just be too lethal or I would.
Oh, that's him with the Punisher.
Oh, okay.
Because he's so the Punisher, when the Punisher is like in a gunfight with him, he's just he like shoots the like barest outside of the Punisher's hand. And like the barest bit of skin on his shoulder, like he's basically shooting him in the least damaging parts, like over and over,
because
he's got perfect aim, right?
Right.
And yeah, the idea of like I could kill people so easily, and I'm constantly avoiding that.
Right. So I saw something today that it. Like I was driving and I saw it. It was a bumper sticker. I wanted to snap a picture of it and text it to you, but I decided I was going to be a safe driver and not do any of those things. So I'll just describe it to you instead and try to get your on-air reaction. But I pull up to the stoplight and pass a car on my right where I see this bumper sticker that it's a Punisher skull. And the Punisher skull is an American flag, and then on top of it, the Punisher skull was wearing a MAGA hat.
I hate it so much. I don't know how to resolve that. That's just okay.
We can talk more about the like using the Punisher as like an as a symbol to be proud of thing.
Uh-huh.
Like next episode, because it's involved in the story. But I just the Punisher is like right up there with like characters that you shouldn't relate with and you shouldn't admire.
I mean, like, it seems like I had a friend who he loved Eric Cartman so much in South Park that he like tried to become him in some ways. Which wasn't great.
That's not good.
or you know, it sounds like Ted Cruz saying that Rorschach is
his favorite superhero.
Favorite superhero. My watch is going crazy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, admiring Deadpool, admiring like the Punisher, admiring Eric Cartman, Rorschach, Walter White. The guy, who's the guy's name? Like all those, there are so many characters like presented as psychopaths that mm-hmm. people are like, they, well, it was presented with heroic music on in the background. That, which I will say you cannot defend in the Watchmen movie, Jay. No matter how you feel about the Watchmen movie, which I know you love, playing heroic sounding music while Rorschach like melts a guy's face is not cool, and it does not like
it's
next you're all you... trapped in here with me, and people are like, yeah, I want to be like that guy. I want to go to prison and scare other prisoners. Okay, let's talk about Daredevil though.
Let's. Okay, so what did you think? I think Detective Cole might have been his name, but he was the guy who transferred from Chicago and was like, I just want to stop crime, and I'm all these cops who, you know, are allowing vigilantes, they've lost their way, etc. What do you think of him overall?
I like him. I think he's not a likable character, but at mm-hmm. the same time, he is going up against like the bad cops.
Right.
And so there's this like there's this feeling that like he's like a superhero that hasn't taken the plunge to wearing pajamas and, you know, using gadgets, right? He is what a real superhero would be in like our real world, where he's just, I'm gonna do whatever it takes and not be afraid of bad cops, and like we don't root for him, but I think he's a likable antagonist for Daredevil.
So what you're telling me is he's basically Hawkeye without a bow and arrow.
What? No. No, he is a cop who Daredevil can relate to, and like, you know, they can like it's basically like it's a bad guy that is also a good guy.
Yeah.
And that's what I like, that it's they made this really cool character, and really like as this story goes, Daredevil, Detective Cole, and Kingpin are the three main characters, and we see a lot of like different things going on with the three of them. They're like parallel storylines, and it's very mm-hmm.
cool. Yeah, I did enjoy the scene where Detective Cole and Kingpin kind of meet each other for the first time and size each other up.
Mm-hmm. And then Kingpin calling him to like tell him, I'm going to give you an award, and he hangs up on him. I was like, ah, Cole is so cool. He just pissed off the mayor. Like, I love it. It's good. It's really nice. And, so I like Cole because he's a brand new unknown character.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts him in that perfect, like, is he going to die or is he going to stick around, like, zone, you know, for characters? And that's sure. great because yeah. there's no plot armor for this guy.
Right.
You know, I think he's a very interesting character, and they give him they do that really subtle thing where like Kingpin threatens his family back in Chicago, And so you're like, oh, he's got a family back in Chicago that Kingpin might. And he's like, I'm not fazed by that. I'm not afraid of him. You know, I'm not going to show him my fear. Cole's very cool. I like it a lot. I think it's a really good way to immediately make a likable character is by having them stand up to a bad guy. So wait, is that thing you were mentioning? What was that? The save the cat thing?
Oh.
That you and me, or was that someone else?
Yes.
It's a screen. So there's a screenwriter thing. There's a screenwriter thing where you make a character save a cat, and they are immediately like a likable protagonist from doing that one good deed, right? Like,
right.
That's kind of his, is standing up to the Kingpin.
Right.
Because everything else he does, he looks like a bad guy.
Right.
Right. Like, he's like, the other cops are kind of afraid of him, and the other cops are like, we're going to let Daredevil go. Like, don't write Daredevil on your report, or else we're gonna have to do stuff against Daredevil. And he's like, I'm gonna hunt Daredevil.
So, a few other scenes, and then one other comment on the writing style with it. So first one, this is right at the very end of comic book number 5. So, He's just been like, oh man, all my friends are killing people, all of the fellow superheroes, and what the heck? And so he goes back to his apartment, and then he's like, wait, there's someone here, impossibly quiet. The hand? No, there's a heartbeat, a strong one. I can almost hear his muscle tighten, coiled with incredible strength and control. He's pure power and doesn't even know it. The best of us. And he's here in my home. And then it has like his kind of radar or sonar or whatever, like, you know, visualization of the room. And it just made me think of like that's probably how it would be if Tom Holland was like, you're scanning him with radar and you're like, what? There's something different about this person. The other thing I thought was really funny was at this kind of towards the start of comic book 6, where he goes into this used bookstore and he like tries to buy a used book of a Charles Dickens book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny because he's almost like shocked or flabbergasted that the like proprietor of the shop, this lady who he's like kind of crushing on, that she doesn't have any physical reaction or physical attraction to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought it was really funny that he kind of came off as kind of
creepy.
Well, yeah, a little creepy, but also a little like conceited, or like, what? How could someone not be attracted to me?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's the part where he's like, she's not attracted to me, and I can sense her her scent and her heat, and I'm just like, that's gross. Like, I got that sense too. I was like, no, this is weird, And that character is another one who like keeps appearing in the ongoing storyline.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I assume that was like the case.
Yeah.
So here's I guess another thing that doesn't work as well for me with, I don't know if it would be just this arc or if it's all Daredevil arcs in general or what, but it kind of feels like, you know, they want this to be a little bit more adultish of a story and setting or whatever, and so, but they also like, you know, they're still going to follow like the Marvel style guide or, you know, the Marvel you know, rating restrictions or whatever, right?
So they kind of keep it in that. I mean, yeah, it's aimed for mass market, right? Like, they're not gonna, they don't want to put anything in it that's too bad. I mean, there's some moments where like Kingpin is about to break a guy's neck before he's stopped, and
there's a lot of things in particular I'm thinking of, and this is probably a little bit of a personal pet peeve, but and something that, you know, I guess they just do in comic books in general. But like there's lots of times where instead of saying the swear word, they just use special characters in its place, right?
Oh yeah.
And then there were a lot of times where, like, for example, there's a scene where Matt Murdock, it's a flashback. He's a little kid. His dad is taking him to see the priest, mm-hmm. and is like chewing him out. And the father swears in, you know, the chapel, and the priest's like, oh, you shouldn't do that. And so the next time he says something and then it says D-A and then dash. And I had to read it like multiple times because I thought he was saying da, as in like, instead of damn, cut off. And I'm like, I don't. Anyways, like, just say a fucking swear word. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I get it. They're trying to sell these to kids, I guess. But
that's hilarious.
Like it. And every time they did like the, you know, at symbol, hashtag, exclamation point, whatever, you know, in the place of a swear word, I'd like stare at it and be like, okay, so, you know, what swear word are they trying to substitute in this sentence? And it would actually kind of accentuate it a little bit more than if it just actually had the swear word.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not 100% sure why they do that. I don't have the best answer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm currently reading through the Saga graphic novel.
Yeah.
And you know, it obviously has a lot of mature topics and mature language in that, and it just feels very different, I guess, from.
Yeah, and I think Saga is published by Image Comics, and yeah. They, number one, they don't have the, like, baggage of being tied into each other, right? Like, if right. you hate Saga, yep. you're not going to have a problem necessarily with Walking Dead. I think Marvel's humongous, and getting bought by Disney probably didn't make their like ability to do adult stories easier. And I do think that it's a problem with Marvel that they don't have a space anymore for like really mature things.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's one. I guess basically that's the thing that felt kind of weird to me, is that it kind of felt like they wanted this to kind of be a more mature story, but could only kind of just take a few baby steps towards that and couldn't really go all the way.
So I'm gonna push back, and I'm gonna say I think that the blanking out cursing thing is a little bit troublesome, but I do think we have a story here where like it shows Matt Murdock struggling with his, like, he's tied him being Daredevil up to his faith, right? Like mm-hmm. him believing that he's like the fist of God, which is something he said, is like, that's part of his deal. So if he killed someone accidentally, what does that mean about his identity as like the fist of God, or about, you know, hey, God gave me these powers, I need to do the right thing with them. So I think it's a mature story. It's just not mature in some ways.
Sure. Yeah. And there was also, so I guess another, I would be curious of your opinion on this part as well. Okay. So towards the start of this arc, it kind of starts off with Matt Murdock going to a bar and doing a one night stand. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't totally sure of the purpose behind it. On the one hand, there was part of me that was thinking that it was kind of like what you said before, like, I don't know, just it kind of feeling like them trying to feel edgier, or without it necessarily having much of a purpose. But maybe I'm just not steeped enough in Daredevil to realize that actually it does have this big significance or something, but
I don't know. I don't think it has a significance except to show he's available, right? Like, I would have to read the comic arcs that come before to really know, and I didn't.
Gasp!
I know, it turns out I haven't read everything.
What? Well, we're actually starting to get towards time on this episode. What are some of your closing thoughts on this one?
I really like it. I think it is as far as like issue to issue, long term Daredevil, I think this is a really good story. I think it would be bad if it was the only Daredevil story you read, right? Like if it's just like, and that's why Daredevil quit forever.
yeah, sure. Yeah.
But I think especially combined with our last one that shows Daredevil being like destroyed mentally. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, basically the two Daredevil arcs I've read so far, he's kind of been beat down and hasn't been kicking much ass.
He's more human than most of the heroes that Marvel has. Like he's still super, but he's more human than super. How about that?
Okay. Were there, I guess, we haven't done this question on this one yet. I've just through the course of this given a little bit of some of my thoughts on it, but I'm curious if there's anything that were in the comics that didn't really work that well for you.
I think the one thing that didn't work is that I wish there was like an actual bad guy that he had to deal with here. It's not that kind of story, but like if I had to find a complaint, it would just be like there's not really a bad guy. I like supervillains, so. But I think it's not that kind of story, so it's appropriate.
Well, I think that you shouldn't hang out with crazy people, and I'm sorry, this is a really obscure, like, we're in a Discord chat where Greg and Trevor got in the conversation over the latest Disney movie, and Trevor was like, no, your opinion's wrong.
That is where he went.
and that made me laugh. Well, I just want you to
call her a psychopath and a sociopath, both of which are indefensible. Like, it just is. I don't.
Well, I want you to know, Greg, that I don't think your opinion about this arc is wrong. So.
Oh, thank you, Jay.
There you go. There's some validation.
I feel so validated.
All right. Well, we are going to be doing the Punisher.
Punisher. Now. All of these issues have tied together really well.
I would like to say that, like, we've planned this.
No, it just kind of like well. It just kind like of it. Accidentally worked out. So,
actually, I'll say that Greg did plan it this way, and he's just that amazing. So,
I am amazing. So true. So next episode, we're going to be doing The Punisher. So we're reading The Punisher from 2018, and we're going to jump to the end of this story arc. So we're going to be reading issues 12 through 16. So it's Punisher 2018. Start at issue 12, read all the way to the end at 16.
Okay. Well, I guess to close things out, we'll tell everyone to be sure to subscribe to our Patreon. You can listen to our bonus episodes. In the next episode, we're going to talk about Daredevil in-game, and we're going to talk about the new TV series, The Falcon and Winter Soldier. So stay tuned. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and remember, we recently changed our pricing, so it does cost less for everybody. So please check us out.
Please do.
Should it be at the beginning of the episode where we shill? Is that the correct way to do it?
I mean, really, we should just be shilling like throughout the start, the middle, the end, but...
Yeah, don't forget to go to Discount Games, Inc. for all your gaming needs.
Right.
See, it's less thirsty if I do it.
I mean...
Like, I don't get it.
At this point, I have no shame, and I'm just like good. A walking human shill. And
yeah, You've got a Discount Games only fans that.
Exactly.
It's not a bad idea, honestly. You could like pose with board games. Like you're like, yeah. It's like I'm only wearing these Catan cards.
Okay.
Order the cards for $100 that I wore. Are you still recording?
No, we're now done.
Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games Inc. and Muse on Minis. Discount Games Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muse on Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.